As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am he." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." They did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of their leaders, for they had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. This is a story about who is willing to see the world in new ways and who is not. The disciples see a blind man as a punished sinner. Jesus sees him as an opportunity to do good. Once the man is healed, people seem to see him differently. His neighbors aren't even sure if they recognize him. The man's parents never seem to have seen him as their son. First, he's a source of shame who's reduced to begging. Later, he's just a source of trouble for them. The religious authorities can't see God at work when it's happening right in front of their eyes. They only see the breaking of commandments. Sometimes it's hard for us to see things through God's eyes. Too often, we judge people by outward appearances. We buy the watches and the cars that are owned by beautiful people. We want our leaders to be tall and strong, reasonably good-looking if possible. God only sees the heart in discerning who is best qualified to do God's work. The first book of Samuel describes how the ancient Israelites shifted from being a loose confederation of tribes to a nation ruled by a king. At first, the prophet Samuel had opposed that idea, but God told him to give the people what they demanded. Samuel had anointed Saul, the first king of Israel, whom the Bible describes as being tall and handsome. Samuel had tried to guide him to be a righteous king, but Saul had proven to be unstable. God has now rejected the kingship of Saul and declared that his son will not succeed him. Samuel grieves for what might have been, even as God tries to turn his attention to new possibilities. "I have provided for myself a king," says God, "from among the sons of Jesse." And the word that we translate as provided also means to see. I have seen that there is a good candidate for king. But Samuel, I wonder if you're able to see him as well. God could have just said, "Go to Bethlehem, anoint David, the youngest son of Jesse." Instead, God leads Samuel one step at a time, only telling him what he needs to know until God's choice can be dramatically revealed. And as is so often the case in Bible stories, the one chosen by God is the youngest and the least impressive. How little was David regarded, even in his own family? Jesse had known that he and his sons were invited to a big event, but he left the youngest out in the field with the sheep. How did his father and brothers feel as they watched him being anointed as their future king? The Bible tells us that David made a good start as king, but that even he was gradually corrupted by the power that he had been given. Each one of us has the potential to accomplish great things, but we also have the freedom to choose a wrong path. One striking thing about the story of the man born blind is that, for as long and as detailed as it is, Jesus actually says and does very little. He only appears at the very beginning and at the very end. For most of the story, it is the man healed of his blindness who takes the place of Jesus. He's the one who speaks the truth despite opposition and rejection. He's the one who criticizes those who would deny the truth. The more he's interrogated, the more he is belittled and condemned, the more sure he becomes about who this Jesus is, until finally he sees Jesus as someone worthy of worship. Jesus had said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And what this story shows is that even when Jesus is not in the world, he empowers his followers to be that light. The letter to the Ephesians says that light bears fruit that is good and right and true. To walk in the light doesn't allow us to be naive. It calls on us to actively seek justice and goodness and truth, to overcome the darkness and blindness of racism, sexism, and homophobia, to see clearly in the light of day how all of us are one family made up of children of God. It may be shameful to mention what people do in the darkness, but we are commanded to expose it and to reveal it in the light of truth. We are charged with uncovering the evil and injustice that occur in the darkness of privilege and lies. When people with wealth and power molest teenage girls, we must bring their crimes into the light. When citizens and residents of this nation are herded into concentration camps for no reason other than their ethnic heritage, we must stand in opposition. And when a war is launched without authorization and against the will of the people, those who do so must be held accountable for their sin. Who among us is not a sinner? Sin is more than actions that we do or fail to do. Sin is our basic attitude toward life, an unwillingness to entrust ourselves to God, a refusal to recognize that we are blind and we need God's help to see. Surely we are not blind. Are we?